Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stay on Target. We are your hosts.
You can follow us on Twitter at JohnWright777.
And ChrisWright250.
What are you about to say?
I love to CWright250.
CWright!
Oh, my goodness.
Dude, so many people are probably following whoever CWright250 is that it's, you know...
I mean, they know it's false. I just said it's false. It is definitely not me.
Okay.
This is episode something.
Number 70. Dude, yeah. Last week you got it so, like, on you were like, it's 69.
And I can't see. I'm further away than I normally am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you got to squint.
Yeah. That doesn't help at all.
It's like you can spot those raccoons on the side of the road.
Yeah, like George Costanza?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. But yeah, so what are you up to this week?
This week, well, actually, like, we were out of town, I guess, for over the weekend.
Oh yeah, it was a long weekend.
Yeah, we went to you came to, but
we went to another baseball game.
Yeah,
we talked about baseball
game.
Last week.
Did we talk about baseball last week?
Because we were at the Sounds game.
Oh, that's right.
And
so it's a couple of baseball weeks.
Yes.
If you want to hear about our baseball experiences, listen to the podcast.
Yes. We should start another podcast about
called
baseball.
Baseball experiences with Chris and John.
I like it.
Stay on Target Baseball.
Actually,
Baseball on Target.
I don't know if I've talked about this before. Baseball on Target.
I don't know. I'm just making stuff up now.
That sounds like a crazy sport. Baseball. I've embarked on a journey, a lifelong
You've
journey.
Embarked. Okay, I heard something about barking, and I was like, I don't know what this is. So,
I have embarked, not barked, embarked
yes.
on. I'm going to every single Major League Baseball stadium. In the United States. I started this last year with you.
Yes.
And so I went to several this year.
Yeah. Where have you gone so far?
I've gone to Atlanta.
Okay.
See the Cardinals play the Braves.
Okay.
I've gone to Cincinnati to see the Cardinals play the Reds.
Ooh.
And I've gone to Chicago, to Wrigley, to see the Cardinals play the Cubs.
But not the White Sox stadium.
No, not yet.
Okay.
No.
So I guess my question is, out of those stadiums and any previous ones that you've been to.
Including St. Louis.
Yes, including St. Louis. Both Old Bush and New Bush.
Oh, okay.
What's your favorite so far?
New Bush.
New
stadium.
Bush? Still?
And, yeah.
Is it just because of the nostalgia and it's the Cardinals and that's your team?
No. So, like, let me describe these other stadiums.
Okay.
So, the Braves Stadium is basically a leftover stadium from the Olympics in, what was it, 96?
They built a baseball stadium just for the Olympics?
I mean, they always build, you know, like the cities that host the Olympics build huge things. You know, you think about the abandoned one in China, all that kind of stuff. So they built this, and it was originally the track and field stadium or whatever it is. And they've...
So that's what I was thinking. If they built a baseball stadium, that would weird me out a little bit.
Well, I mean, baseball used to actually be an Olympic sport, and it recently was not.
Demoted.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, it's because, like, I mean, I guess the rest of the world, not a lot of places. I mean, there's like Japanese and
I mean, the South American companies. Yes, the South American.
The world
countries.
Is a corporate structure.
South America plays baseball. Japan plays baseball. We play baseball.
Yeah,
but like all the good players come here anyway.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that on the NBA games as well. You know, you think about that. But anyway, so they built this. It was like a track and field stadium, and so it's been converted, and so it's kind of awkward in that sense. It's huge. It's enormous.
Is it symmetrical, like, or is it shaped like a baseball stadium?
I mean, it's not shaped like a traditional baseball stadium. They've done some things, like they've post converted it for sure. Like they've made it into a baseball stadium.
Cool.
So it doesn't look like a track and field, but it's just kind of, you know, everything's really open. It's not.
Is it an oval though? Like a track and field, like, stadium?
At one point it was.
But have they added seats, maybe?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. They've added seats, like, down closer to the field and stuff like that. I don't know. It's a cool stadium. It's just, like, it's, you know, not exactly functional how they want it to be functional, I think. They're actually going to tear it down. And this year or last year, or next year, I mean, is the last season there. They're going to build one in a different, better part of town.
And then you're going to have to go to that one before you can, you know.
Yes,
we'll
go back to that one.
Consider it done.
I think close second was the Cincinnati Park. It's the Great American Ballpark. It was actually really cool. It's a lot smaller than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
In terms of how many people it holds. And it kind of feels like an oversized minor league park.
That's cool.
But it's like right on the river there in Cincinnati, and like the nice skyline, and you can see the bridges all lit up, and it's really cool. We saw some fireworks after the game there, and it was a lot of fun. That was cool. Wrigley is awesome, like just because of the history there and, you know, just how old everything is. I would say the only downfall is, like, if you sit in the upper deck, all the food's down at the bottom. So you've got to.
That just seems like a nightmare.
You've got to walk for like 5 minutes and to go get any food you want.
Like, not spill your hot dog all over
on the way back.
You know, it's like, I feel like that would be really hard to. Like, you'd have to buy your food before you even go to the seats.
Yeah.
In my mind.
And I will say at Wrigley, parking is a nightmare.
Of course, because it's Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago. It's the middle. I mean, there's nothing around. I mean,
well, you even look at like seating, and it's like there's buildings across the street charged for the like rooftop viewing of the games, which is really cool, and it's a cool vibe. But parking can be.
But I really loved Wrigley. It was a lot of out of Cincinnati, Wrigley, or the Braves Stadium. The one I would go back to right now is Wrigley. Like,
awesome.
In a second, just because like it's just cool, you know, like there's a lot of just a really cool vibe there, and feels, you know, you can just feel the history. It just oozes history all over you. You walk out, you're like, oh man, feel all the history all over you.
I think that might be something else entirely.
Really?
Sweat, okay. Humidity, bugs.
I thought it felt like history.
It felt an awful lot like history.
Yeah. So we went to the
Carnival
game.
You think about history and like the epic moments in history, most of them were probably pretty sweaty. You know, George Washington crossing the Potomac. He probably had lots of.
Wasn't it cold then?
I don't know.
I think it was cold.
But it was probably misty because of the river.
It was the middle of the winter.
No.
I think they crossed it. They didn't think they were going to cross it because it was so cold.
You are the history major, so.
It was cold. I'm just going to say it was cold. You're right. I mean, with great effort comes great moments in time.
Yes, so like lots of sweatiness.
No one ever wakes up from a nap and says, oh man, look at what just happened around me. History. I have somehow become president.
History has happened while I was sleeping.
I have somehow saved a child from drowning whilst... freeing people.
That would be
groups.
Called a dream. And it's while cool.
Are we all, you know, part of someone's dream?
Did you just go Matrix on us? the Wachowski brothers would be very pleased.
They would be pleased. They are pleased. I'm right into the next film.
They're smiling upon you.
So we went to that Carnival Ball game, and that was the last one probably I'll go to this season, unless they make it to the World Series. I've yet to go to a World Series game.
You've been to playoff games, though.
I've been to playoff games.
So I guess my other question about the whole like stadium thing, and this is like backtracking, but I just thought of it.
Fine.
I realized
fine.
I like totally like usurped where you were going with this whole playoff situation.
It's fine.
But are you going to have to go to every stadium whenever they play like the Cardinals?
I would like to.
But this is going to take forever because like the Yankees, like they don't play the Yankees or they don't play like American League teams every year.
They played the Yankees this year.
They did, but it was the first time in like years.
Right. I mean, they'll play, like they've increased interleague play over the past few years a lot. So I think they played four different teams in interleague play this year. And so you think you go to, you know, three or four different stadiums per year, you know, you can get to it eventually. I mean, there's only like 30 something stadiums altogether.
Right.
So like it'll happen eventually.
But if they keep tearing them down, Chris, and building new ones.
I know, dude. That's the the bad thing.
It's just you get like 30 some odd in and then they tear down the first one you went to and you're No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotta
for
go
sure.
back.
But yeah, so if they go to the playoffs, I'll go to another Cardinal game. But if not, if they go to the World Series, not just the playoffs, World Series.
Yeah.
Because I want to see them play in the World Series.
Right on, dude.
Yes.
Right on. All right, so this week on the podcast, we didn't even talk about what we were going to talk about.
No.
But this week on the podcast, we're actually talking about mobile and handheld gaming.
Yeah.
And this is kind of going to be like maybe a past, present, and future kind of look at the mobile and handheld market.
Days of Handheld, Future Past?
Yes. What? That was an awesome movie title. That was not confusing at all. Audiences
will
love
it. Not to be confused
it.
With X-Men, Days of Future Past.
So yes, we're going to be talking about that a little bit later. But first,
the pick of the week.
The pick of the week. Okay, Chris.
Yeah.
Let's talk about picks of the week.
Okay, I have a pick.
What are you picking?
I'm picking.
I'm picking.
Oh man, this is a weird. It's a weird night. I'm just in this really weird mood. I'm not really like super excitable, but I've got things going on up here.
Yeah, it's like I feel like you're very contemplative. Like there's lots of things that are cogs that are turning and
contemplative.
Lots of things. Yes, contemplative.
Yes, I don't know.
Is that a word?
Is that the correct pronunciation?
I don't know if it is.
Contemplative.
Or not.
Is it contemplative or contemplative?
Let's determine that. Whatever you said, because I'm going to say contemplative now. Let's say contemplative is the American way to say it.
All this sounds wrong.
And the other way is like the UK way to say it.
The Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack. All the cool songs in Guardians of the Galaxy. If you haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy, spoiler alert, there's lots of cool songs in there.
Big spoiler. Big spoiler.
I mean,
Chris.
The reason for the songs is a spoiler. I will not say that, though. The Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack is coming out on vinyl on September 16th.
September 16th. Yeah.
If you at all enjoy that music, you should go pick it up. I'm going to pick it up probably eventually at some point in time.
Like on the 16th.
Probably.
Yeah, no, for sure. That movie had like, I loved the music in that movie, and I like it whenever a movie uses music from a certain period of time if it fits. Like it's what's weird about that one in particular is that the licensing actually worked because like they licensed all these 70s and
unlike the
and
licensed song
60s.
In Amazing Spider-Man 2.
This is true. Yeah. Was that the one where he had the headphones on and it was
Philip Phillips.
Yeah, I don't.
It is. Yeah, that's Philip Phillips.
Okay,
and he was like doing all that research and stuff like that on the wall.
But it like that was cool, sort of. Like I think you pointed out that it was cool. We were on opposite sides of this argument before.
We were.
Chris.
You didn't like it at all.
Like I didn't like it. But then like the more I think about it, it was like no, this was just an extension of the one thing they did right with that movie, which is the characters of him, because it's like he became a real person to me because he popped on his headphones.
Yeah.
And he listens to the music we all listen to.
He's
the every Spider-Man.
But so the music in Guardians of the Galaxy plays a better role.
Yes.
And a huge role in the actual story.
Yeah.
Which I actually like a lot. And so it's coming out. You should check it out.
Yeah.
On the 16th.
Some good tunes.
If you like vinyl records.
If you don't like vinyl records, you can buy it and use it as a frisbee.
Please don't do that.
Other entertainment.
Please do not do that. Leave it for vinyl lovers.
You could also put, like, I've seen people use, like, vinyl and make, like, popcorn bowls. Coasters.
Yeah, I've seen that before. I have coasters. I have vinyl coasters.
There you go.
But they were never records at one point. Like, they were vinyl records that were produced for the purpose of making coasters.
Are you sure? Because I feel like somebody on Etsy has taken a bunch of vinyl records, going to like the dollar store, like the dollar bin, buying up all their dollar, and then selling like $3 coasters.
I mean, that's possible.
I feel like that's probably
that
going
sounds
on.
Sounds just so destructive to
it does.
To our music.
It does, and like to musical history, because some of the like most of those vinyls, they're not going to be made again.
No. Not going to be pressed again.
There's
ever.
Only a limited a number of them.
Yeah, in the world.
And you just made a coaster or a popcorn bowl out of it.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
Way to go to
it's
destroy
like
our musical history.
The bones of our ancestors and making eating utensils out of them.
Or, yeah, that's really morbid and really like, wow, that's terrible.
Yes.
There you go.
So what's your pick of the week?
My pick this week, we're going to go back to the happy side of things, sort of. Because Dishonored is my pick of this week.
Ooh.
It was a free game with gold last week or last month. It was Games with Gold. Or is it Games for Gold? No, it's Games with Gold. Because you're not paying your gold to get the game.
Games for Gold. Bring us your gold.
Here's my gold bar, Phil Spencer.
Yes.
Turn it into a game.
Yes.
And he turns around and gives you Plinko or something. Anyway, So, Dishonored is my pick this week, and downloaded that, and just now started playing it or whatever.
Yeah,
and it's a really fun game. Like I there's different ways that you can go with it. You can go like the all out, like I'm gonna destroy everything and be like, you know, this awesome guy and kill everybody. Or you can go the sneaky route, and so far I haven't had to kill anybody.
Nice.
Like, you just kind of, like, knock them out and, like, hide them in a closet somewhere.
Is there an achievement for doing that?
I don't know. I hope so, because that's my plan for the whole time. Like, that, I'm just going to go for it. Just going to go for it.
Is it super, super, super fun?
It's really fun. Like, I mean, it's a challenge. It's, like, the stealth aspect of it is the most realistic stealth stuff that I've seen.
Yeah.
Because I've played, like, some other games that have stealth stuff, and it's, like, super unrealistic where, like, the AI just reacts really weird.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. But this is the most realistic of that I have. I do know that there's different routes. Like, if you kill people, something different happens. Like, you get different abilities that you can upgrade and stuff. It's like this whole skill tree. And if you go kind of the mixed route, you kind of get the best of both worlds or whatever. But again, I'm going to totally go straight for the non-lethal route. And we'll see if the story forces me to do anything about it. But,
yeah.
You know, until I get to that point, you know.
So. What difficulty are you playing it on?
The hardest.
The hardest? And it's still...
The hardest.
You're still able to do it?
I'm still having fun. Like, that's the weird thing. It's hard. Like, a lot of times I'll get there and I'll, like, observe the movements and you just kind of, like, get to a certain point and it's like, well, I've just got to take a chance.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you would make it and then, or other times you're restarting or
something. What's the story like?
The story is...
So spoilers.
Like this, so spoilers, like... I mean,
minor spoilers.
Minor spoilers. This is like the first, you know, first bit of the game. The spoiler is you are a... so setup, this is non-spoiler. You are a bodyguard for the ruler of a nation, fake world, whatever. And so you come back from this journey out to these other islands because there's a plague going on and you're trying to get their support and their like medical supplies. You come back, the ruler, you show up, the queen gets assassinated.
Mm.
Her daughter, who would be the queen after she gets assassinated, is kidnapped.
Oh, no.
And you are blamed.
Oh, man.
So you go to prison. 6 months later is where the actual like gameplay picks up, where you obviously don't get killed for your crimes against the crown, but you escape.
Nice.
And you know, there's people that are helping you and there's, you know, you don't know what they say that their motivations are to get, you know, rescue the little girl, so she can become queen. But you don't necessarily like, I don't trust them yet. I don't trust any of the people yet that I've met. It seems like everybody kind of has their own thing going on.
Are they like branching? Like, can you trust them or not trust them?
I don't know. Like, there's moments where you can choose whether to do something or whether not to.
Huh.
But like, I don't know how those, like, what the different branching storylines would be. All I know is like your character, you can choose whether to kill people or whether not to.
I see.
A lot of the thing is, it's like because you were branded you're the fugitive in the fugitive movie or whatever. You're branded as this evil person or whatever. So the people that are actually like trying to kill you
because they think you killed the queen,
right? Because they think you killed the queen, and they literally. You know, they could be good guys. Like,
right.
And so that was my big, big decision there. I was like, I'm not going to kill these people.
Yeah, because even if you are innocent.
Right.
And you end up mass murdering all these people.
Yeah.
How in that case do they ever trust you again?
You still get put to death, you know, for mass murdering all these people or whatever to clear your name, you know? So it's that whole scenario. And so that's why I'm trying to go as non-lethal as possible. Again, you might end up having to kill the you know, some of the leaders of this, you know, the nefarious organization that is trying to take over the country or has taken over the country. But we shall see.
Nice.
That's my pick this week. It's a really fun game.
That's awesome. What time period is it set in?
It is set in, like, it's weird because like there's this kind of like mixed kind of, you're using a single shot gun, also like a crossbow or like a sword, and everybody else kind of has these swords or these guns. So it's like almost like that type of like colonial type of thing, but there's also electricity going on. So it's like, and you have different technology stuff. So it's like, it's
some this, like alternate future.
Yeah. It's kind of like this steampunkish type of mixed between future technology, like current technology of today and old technology. So it's almost like, what if they invented electricity, you know, years and years earlier than they did?
Yeah.
Or what if they had these weird machines earlier than they did? So yeah,
that's cool.
You know, so that's the kind of the premise. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's a really fun so far. And on to the main segment. Okay, Chris.
Yes.
So we're going to like view this as like maybe past, present, and future and kind of mix them all together. Right. You stir them in a big pot.
How about we start with the future?
Okay. Future.
So this this past weekend, there was some news.
There's big news.
From PAX.
From PAX.
New York.
Mm-hmm. No, PAX East or West.
Nope.
It was PAX East?
Yep. I believe so.
Okay. I don't know. Was it PAX?
I don't know.
PAX West. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You're going to look. Fact check, Chris. So the Nintendo, via a Nintendo Direct, They actually announced a new handheld gaming system called the new 3DS and the new 3DS XL. So, like, there's two sizes.
You were right. It was PAX West.
That's what I thought. I thought PAX East is, like, is a different time of year.
Yes.
Or is next. It's the next one.
I'll find that out now.
Yeah. So, but PAX West. And so, like, they did this Nintendo Direct, and it was kind of a surprise. But I don't know why it was a surprise, because last year around this time was the whenever they announced the 2DS. Which is the 2D version of the 3DS, obviously. The big thing, like, here to me is the confusing name and stuff like this. I mean, I guess they have Super Mario Brothers, and then they have New Super Mario Brothers. So riding the add new to the beginning of it and everyone buys it train, Nintendo decides to call it the new 3DS. Oh my gosh. And the new 3DS XL. So there's two sizes.
So stupid. So stupid.
It's really
weird.
Who
says? Well, I mean, I guess they did that with the iPad. Here's yeah. the iPad and the new iPad.
I guess that's true.
Remember when they did that?
I remember.
There was the iPad, iPad 2, and then the new iPad.
Yeah. I do remember they did that. And so I guess it worked for Apple. And I guess
the third
iteration
of this. There was the 3DS. Or wait, there was the DS, the 3DS, and now the new 3DS.
New 3DS. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. So, I mean, yeah, so we've got this new thing, and it's got some updated hardware specs, like a new CPU, like an updated CPU, so it's got more power, and it's got additional triggers that are actually, like, inside of the other triggers, so it's not like they're stacked where you can use both fingers.
Can you use one of them at a time?
Yeah, like, you would have to rest your finger on it and, like, pulse, like, straighten your finger to use the other one and push down to use the other. I don't know. It's
weird.
Do
you have to have super tiny fingers?
I don't know. I haven't held it, but I do want to say, like, my triggers on my 3DS, whenever I hold the thing, the triggers are fairly wide and they're fairly big. And so, like, your finger kind of lays across the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And so if you just kind of, like, made the trigger that exists smaller and add one in, it would be easy. So, I mean, the only thing, like, you wouldn't necessarily be able to do is, like, port over, like, shooters or whatever, but they don't really do that with their handhelds.
No,
anyway,
not really.
So.
So talk about a little bit about the second joystick up there. So, like, this is taking the place of, like, getting the Circle Pro Pad.
Circle Pad Pro.
Yeah, whatever that was.
Which, honestly, like, I've looked into it and stuff, and it's a terrible accessory. Like, it's kind of like the 3DS, whatever, sits in this, like, boat type thing, and you, like, it has this big hold on to this handle, which honestly ruins the portability of a portable device. Like, if you're gonna get this huge apparatus or whatever, you might as well have the
it's like hauling around an iron lung.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you might as well just carry around a TV with your, you know, Xbox hooked up to it or whatever. It's like, I just feel like if the more things you add on to a handheld device, the less appealing it becomes. So, like, this is more appealing than that.
It looks super tiny, though.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I don't know how comfortable it's going to be.
I feel like my fingers are just going to slip off it.
Or it's just going to be really uncomfortable and dig into your finger if you're having to use it all the time.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say that I'm excited for it to come out and use it on is the Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Whenever Super Smash Brothers comes out, like, that's the C stick. It'll be like on your GameCube was. It'll be like that little yellow stick that's down there. And so, like, if you push a direction, it'll use a charged attack, or it'll, you know, or it'll do, like, these other charged moves. So it's like you're just basically reaching up to use it, like, and hit it, and it's like, oh, it does an attack, and it's done. Whereas, like, if you're using this as a camera view, for example, maybe in, like, a Super Mario 64, where you're, like, changing the camera view or whatever, that might get a little bit tedious on your thumb. I feel like it would be really hard to use, and then it would hurt your thumb after a while.
Yeah.
So it's like that. That's kind of weird to me.
Here's my question.
Yes.
Okay. First, answer me one other question.
Okay.
Before I get to my main question.
Okay.
Okay. Will this will play all the 3DS and DS games?
Yes. Looks like it.
Will the 3D, like, are they going to, like, are there going to be games that are released that can only be played on the new 3DS?
Yes, they have announced one so far.
And it can't be played at all on the current 3DS.
Right. Because they...
I feel like that's going to get crazy confusing.
It's going to get nuts.
Parents are going to buy these things for their kids, and it's going to say 3DS on it, or new 3DS. They're not going to know what that means, and they take it home, and they can't play it on their regular 3DS.
Yeah. And here's something that's weird to me about the whole infrastructure. Like, because they did the CPU update, and let's just talk about a little bit about why the CPU update, they probably made this. People have been asking for certain ports of certain games. For a long time, like Xenoblade Chronicles is the exclusive that
they
announced.
What was that originally on?
Wii.
Okay.
Okay. So like one, like last generation console game, they wanted it on handheld. Like people, they've been trying to do this. They said, hey, we're trying to port this game to your handheld device. Everybody's been saying, hey, where's this at? Where's this at? But they couldn't get it to work with the current CPU of the 3DS. So they've updated the CPU now. They can put this game out. So does that mean that we're going to get a bunch of Wii games for the 3DS, like Wii ports over?
Yeah.
Maybe. But the question I have is, why was it necessarily, like, I never felt like it was underpowered. I never felt like my 3DS is underpowered or anything, right. You know? I never felt like it was slow
I just think
or
from
anything.
From a branding standpoint, it's a terrible name. Like, there's not enough differentiation between, like, why is it new? Like, what, you know, like, if they, even if they had a number after it, 3DS 2,
yeah.
You know, like, or if they'd stuck with, you know, and tried not gotten so clever with the 3DS name, this would be the DS 2, and then they'd have the DS 3 coming out or whatever. You know, like, I don't know. It just sounds crazy confusing. I think consumers are going to be confused. Kids are going to be asking their parents for this. They're going to say, why do you need it?
And the parents could potentially buy the wrong thing.
Buy the wrong game for the wrong system. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man, dude. Like,
I mean, there's unless they pull this back together, I mean, honestly, they could rebrand this as, like, I feel like a better name would be, like, the Super 3DS.
Yeah.
Or, like,
yeah, that would be great.
Like Super Nintendo. You know, like, there was the NES, the Nintendo Entertainment System. Then there was the Super NES, which is what we know as the Super Nintendo.
That's a way better name.
It is. And that's the kind of consensus, is like, that would be a way better idea. And it would harken back to the history of Nintendo, which they love to do.
Yeah.
The look of this thing is kind of cool. Like, they've updated the look. There's, like, changing faceplates on the smaller model.
Yeah.
The bigger model doesn't have that much looks, but that's not a reason to buy this system.
No.
And
this is the thing. If their only selling point right now is the fact that you can play games, ports from your Wii that you've already played, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's also the Amiibo support.
Yeah,
sorry, so I forgot to mention that.
Yeah. So, like, whenever I saw this,
yeah,
this is what I was like, this is what they made this for. So it would have Amiibo support built right in instead of using a peripheral.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Like, I'm not going to say that's not cool. That is good. That's a better solution than carrying an additional peripheral around with you, along with your figures and your console, you know, like,
okay. And if you need another joystick, the Circle Pad Pro.
Exactly. Right. So, I mean, you know, they do have, it is consolidating two peripherals into this machine. So that's good.
Yeah. And I wonder if maybe they were saying, well, if we're going to have to make a new system anyway, why don't we just update the CPU while we're at it? Or maybe the Amiibo thing, like, wasn't fast enough and they had to speed up the CPU to make it quicker, make it more responsive or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, okay, if I'm Nintendo and I'm saying I really need to sell this, I'm going to, like, okay, let's put in all these features. On top of that, I'm going to up the resolution of the screen.
Yep.
Like, that would get me on board with, like, okay, now I don't have a DS or a 3DS.
Yeah.
But if that had happened, I'd be like, all right, fine. I need to upgrade this thing. That thing looks way better.
Yeah.
It doesn't look any better necessarily.
The 3D is supposed to work a little bit better just based on some weird technology, but the resolution is no higher.
Yeah. So, I don't know. You know, and I know we all get caught up in resolution wars, but, like, we all get caught up in it. It's a good way to actually market. You think about, we just referenced Apple. You know, the new iPad was the first time it had a Retina screen in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you go from iPad 2, and new iPad, you're like, man, I really need that. It looks so much better, so much sharper.
Yeah. Even, like, laptops. I remember whenever they came out with a Retina screen on, like, a MacBook, and I was like, I need a new MacBook.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't need a new MacBook. I really don't.
Right.
My MacBook works just perfectly fine, but at the time I was just like, man, the screen just looks so much better. It's like, if there's one thing that you can put, like, a shiny new coat of paint on something, it's upgrade the resolution of a screen.
Yep.
And I think that that's, like, the biggest problem. Maybe it was a cost-cutting factor.
I'm sure it was. I mean, you think about... So from a tech standpoint, yes, you want the higher resolution, but then, you know, like, then you have to have the power to upconvert to this higher resolution inside your machine. You also think about, like, the way that Sony has behaved with the Vita. Like, they just got rid of the bigger model with the OLED screen for a smaller model with a slightly longer battery life, but an LED screen. So it's not the this, you know, the resolution is lower. Like, it's not, the colors aren't as crisp and clear as they are. They're a little more muddled. And so
the black isn't as black.
Black, yeah. And so, like, you see cost-cutting measures from Sony in terms of, hey, like, let's actually downgrade our screen and start selling it. And it'll still sell, you know, the same numbers.
Yeah.
It's actually selling better now that they have, you know, some, like, titles pushing it. But, you know, so I think we're seeing that across the board from companies, you know, like, and you even see developers with Xbox One and PS4, like, they're pushing things out. They don't care necessarily. I think they care, but, like, they... You know, The Witcher 3 is about to come out, and it's going to have run at 720 for both platforms. I just don't think, game developers aren't really caring right now.
They're opting for performance versus resolution, which is probably the right call.
Right.
Whenever you're putting out a game, if you look back at history, which is kind of the past,
which is the definition of history.
The history, yes.
about history, it's kind of like
it's kind of like it's a in long the past.
Line. It's in the past. It's a series of events that has happened already, and that's kind of like what history is.
That's sort of, but it's got some other things, like some nuanced things about it.
Yes.
Anyway, like people had beards more back then.
What are you saying? I have a beard.
I have a beard too.
Yeah.
Anyway,
are we from the past?
We might be from the past. That would be awesome. If, like, everybody with a beard was from the past, and, like, whenever you nod at somebody with a beard, like, across a hallway or whatever, you're like, yeah, I see you from a different decade. Anyway, that's a weird... anyway, if you look at, like, historically, the highest-selling handhelds have been the handhelds with both the highest battery life and the lowest cost, like, the lowest cost of entry. Because you look at, like, Game Gear versus Game Boy, the winner of this was obviously not the Game Gear, which had the higher resolution screen,
color,
better graphics. It was in color.
Backlit.
Yes, but it had, like, you had to use, like, 8 batteries, super heavy. And then the Game Boy had this terrible, weird-looking puke green screen, and it was the less expensive, but its battery life was way better, and it took like 2 AA's.
Right.
And so it's like historically that's been the case with handhelds. And so I think that Nintendo sees like the trend and isn't necessarily as concerned about resolution as all of us are. But again, that was the number one thing that people were complaining about. Well, I guess the number two thing people were complaining about for the 3DS, like whenever it came out, that it wasn't HD or that the 3DS XL rather, that it wasn't a higher resolution screen.
Yeah.
They made the screen bigger, but they didn't increase the number of pixels.
That makes more sense just on this isn't a new product really.
Right.
Like, because they did that with didn't they have a DS XL?
Yeah.
The exact same thing.
Yeah.
Where it was just bigger and they just increased the pixel size.
Yeah.
And so, like, that wasn't as much of a surprise.
Well, you also got, like, back in, if you want to go even, like, back in, you've got Game Boy and then Game Boy Color, like, that sort of situation.
That was the same screen size, though.
It just had color.
Right.
You know, and, but some games worked on the color and that didn't work on, like, the regular anymore. So it's like, this is a sort of weird situation like that we've gotten into, like, with handhelds, especially from Nintendo, where they kind of confuse the market with, updating something or having like a half of an update. I feel like this is like the iPhone 5S to the iPhone 5 or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I feel like this is like a half step to the next whatever it is.
I agree with that. You know, like, and whatever their next model is, they're going to like, is it going to be the 4DS? Is it going to spray stuff at your nose and smell? and, you know, like, we'll see. I don't know. Like,
yeah. I mean, you know, so Chris.
Yeah.
Talking about like all of this mobile gaming, let's just kind of jump on board with
we just talked about the future.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about the present for a second.
Okay, so the present.
All right. So, presently, I think, you know, both, well, let's talk about the like mobile and not so much mobile, but the Vita and the 3DS.
Yes.
3DS is obviously selling way better. But they both have a lot of great games on it. A lot of great games coming.
Yeah.
You know, like you've been playing a lot of Shovel Knight. Have you beat that yet?
I have not beat that yet.
You need to beat that so
we
can review
it. Dude, I've got like 3 games that I'm in the middle of on that thing, and I just sit down and I say, "What mood am I in today?"
Yeah, that's what I do too.
You know, so.
I think they're doing really, really well. Like, you know, you have those games on, you've got Pokemon coming out, you've got Super Smash Brothers coming out.
Yeah.
What else? You have
there's some other like newer ones that are more like next year in the future. Like there's a what was it? Steam Project Steam ST whatever it is. It's an acronym for something. But they made it Steam because it's kind of like a steampunkish style. There's that one, and it's like there's so many games on that device that it's like you can go into the backlog between the DS and the 3DS, and it's like I have a wish list of like 50 or 60 games on this thing that I would love to play. And so, you know, whenever they go on sale or whatever, if I see them anywhere used or whatever, I'll pick it up for sure.
Yeah.
So it's like you've got this huge catalog of handheld games from the past, I guess, 3 or 4 years that that just makes it worth it. Something I haven't gotten into necessarily is the buying things digitally yet. I've bought a few things digitally off of my 3DS, but they don't drop prices. They don't run sales. The Nintendo Shop doesn't run sales or anything. However, with your Vita, on the other hand,
With PlayStation Plus, you know, you have lots of games. Like for instance, then this is what the direction I was kind of trying to get into, like the games. You know, like there's lots of games on 3DS. There's despite Sony's silence on this during the press conferences this summer, there are a lot of games on Vita. So like with PlayStation Plus this week, here are the games you can get on Vita. You can get Velocity 2X, which is brand new, came out this week.
Free,
free
PlayStation Plus.
PlayStation All Stars Battle Royale free on Vita. TXK, it's on Vita for free, and Joe Danger, which came out, I think, last week for PS Vita. It's free. You know, like, so these are all free games you can get right now if you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber, and they're all brand new games. Well, not all of them, but there's two of them on there that are brand new games to the Vita.
Huge value there.
Yeah, and there's more games. There's, like, Freedom Wars coming, and
that one looks awesome.
They announced a lot, apparently, like, I think you said earlier.
TGS.
You know, TGS.
Yeah, TGS.
And, you know, so,
which is strange because, like, I mean, obviously those are more like Japanese oriented, like RPGs and stuff like that. It's they're built more for the Japanese market than they are for here. But if you really like kind of like Japanese games, or if you like mobile games, like that's a great place to go to get some good value.
This is the thing. A lot of them, you know, if they do well in Japan, they'll come here.
Of course, of course. And some of those, I think, I want to say that a lot of the ones from TGS or whatever, they were announced at both places. Like they'll eventually come here for sure. But yeah, I mean, you've got a lot of things on the 3DS. You have a lot of stuff that is more, I guess, lighter, if you want to say that. Like it's not really heavy, hardcore gaming type stuff. It's more that's one reason I really like it. Where it's like, whenever I go to my console, a lot of times I'm playing shooters or I'm playing like Dishonored, like I talked about. So you're doing like things in a dark world, or you're, you know, a military person that's shooting people, or so it's like this, it's an intense thing.
Yeah.
But whenever I sit down with my 3DS, it's like I'm playing Mario, I'm playing you know, Pokemon, or I'm playing Shovel Knight, where it's just these really fun experiences that I find myself like literally laughing out loud a lot of times while I'm playing, just because it's funny. You know, there's just fun stuff that happens. So like from a pure enjoyment standpoint, it's like there's some really good things on like the 3DS. And as far as your Vita goes, there's like Assassin's Creed and stuff like this. So it's like you get a lot of console based stuff on that too.
Yeah. 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 So if this were the State of the Union, I would say the State of the Union is strong.
For sure.
Yeah.
So diving into the past a little bit.
Yes.
What was your first experience with a handheld game?
Probably the original Game Boy.
Yeah?
What
game was it?
I don't remember. Probably Mario.
Yeah.
That seems about right.
I think I remember the first time was Tetris.
Oh, you're probably right.
And I could sing the song now, but it's like that would be annoying to everyone.
Yes. And I remember the Game Boy Color for sure. We had a Game Gear for a long time.
Awesome.
Had a lot of games. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Mobile gaming has always been interesting. You know, like it's something that, you know, you do whenever you are someplace other than your house, because even whenever, you know, you had the Game Boy and stuff like that, no one sits on their couch at home playing your Game Boy.
Yeah.
You're playing your Nintendo or, you know, whatever gaming system
you
have.
Your computer game, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You play it in the car. You play it on the go. And it's interesting that, you know, despite all the mobile games that are available, that we're still buying and enjoying mobile gaming systems, handheld gaming systems.
Yeah. I remember, speaking of in the car or whatever, I remember we had the cigarette, like the cigarette adapter, lighter adapter. Yes. And it's like, but if you turned off the car and then restarted the car, sometimes, not every time, but sometimes it would reset the, like it would be just enough of a intermittency, like between the connection to reset your game.
Or if you had to unplug it from the, cigarette adapter.
Gosh, and go battery.
And go to, like in that switchover, sometimes it would just lose your progress.
Worst, man. The
worst. Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, but so as far as like the mobile, we've talked about mobile games before and we talk about it a lot. I feel like we're pretty big proponents of like mobile gaming, like, and on the go gaming and stuff. So, despite like the fact that we both have, like, you have a Vita, I have a 3DS, we both kind of find ourselves at times like on our phones, you know, with games there, you know, I have different games on my phone too. So it's just whatever gaming experiences you want to go for, there's something out there for you on the go.
Yeah. You know, I'll bring them, you know, mobile games every once in a while as a pick of the week and stuff like that. I actually haven't been playing, more of my Vita lately than my, I've been taking it with me, and playing that more than my actual, my phone.
What was the last game you played on your Vita?
On my Vita, is, Gravity, Rush.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you like that game?
Is I it like good? It. Yeah, it's fun. The, only thing is I'm going to have to turn off the music cause it's just so monotonous.
Oh, dude. The only game that I don't turn off the music on right now is Shovel Knight because it's so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's really good.
Well, it has a huge soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 20 tracks or something like that.
Yeah, it's nuts how many, like, I don't, like, you can go and you have to find these, like, musical sheets and bring them back to the guy and you can play, like, whatever music you want.
That's awesome.
So it's like, I'll play, like, some of my favorites while I'm in the next level or whatever. Yeah. But it's like, anyway, most of the other games, like, there's, like, once you're in one area and you've heard it for the first 2 minutes,
yeah.
Sound off.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, for
all
sure.
All the way.
For sure. Well, I don't really want to roll sound off because there's some like environmental things, cues, dialogue that you want to hear.
Gotcha.
I just don't want to hear the same music all the time.
So you go into the menu, you the options menu, and you turn down the music?
Yeah, I just go and I turn down the music.
That's some intense, like, that's intense hatred of the music or whatever.
In Gravity Rush, it's just the same thing over and over again.
I remember the only other reason that I have ever done that is I did that on Call of Duty on my console. On Call of Duty, what was it? Was it Black Ops 2 or Black Ops 1? I don't remember, but I turned off the music because it would, while I was in the middle of a match and I'm like trying to listen for people, it would all of a sudden, like, if you haven't encountered anyone for a while, the system would bring the music up as like, and build your intensity.
Yeah.
I guess they were trying to get you to move or whatever. It's right. Like, oh, something's going to happen. But it's like, I would not be able to hear anything. And so I turned it off all the time.
For Black Ops 2, this is an entirely different conversation. But Black Ops 2,
it's okay.
The balance between the sound effects and the music was completely off.
So skewed.
From the beginning.
Dang you, Hans Zimmer.
I mean, it's not his fault.
No,
it's whoever programmed the stupid thing. And I had settings in my phone for, okay, here's what I set the sound effects and music to for multiplayer.
Really?
Here's what because there were like three different things. I think, I don't know if I still have
one. Was zombies different?
Zombies was different too, but let me see. There were three different settings, I think.
Yikes.
Let me see if I can find it. It might still be in here.
So like, yeah, so that's really weird to me because like I remember on that one adjusting it, but I don't think I adjusted it every time I would change modes or whatever. I think I just basically turned off all of the music, no matter what. Like it was just gone. Which sucks because it was a good soundtrack because Hans Zimmer did it or whatever, but it was just so distracting while I was in the middle of a match trying to hunt guys down and listen to their footsteps that I couldn't play. But yeah. Do you have it, Chris?
Maybe.
Maybe?
Here it is.
Nice.
All right. So there was, okay. So here were the different settings. There was a voice setting, music setting, and a sound effects setting. And for the campaign and multiplayer, I had different setups for each one of those.
That's crazy.
And I think at one point I did have zombies, but I ended up kept leaving it on the multiplayer settings.
Gotcha.
Because it was generally the same. Because in that I was, you know, I needed to be able to hear, just like in multiplayer, I needed to be able to hear people coming up and sneaking up on you. I needed to be able to hear zombies, you know, doing their thing.
So I guess the only reason I didn't do that and have like two settings or whatever, because I didn't play the campaign more than like, I only played that campaign for like an hour.
Yeah. I mean, it was a terrible campaign. Let's not kid ourselves here.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't know where you were going with that.
Like you can parse hairs, maybe?
Split hairs?
Split hairs.
Okay. I don't know.
I can't.
I don't know what the expression is.
I told you, John. I'm not myself today.
Who are you then?
I don't know.
What if you were like, I am Abraham Lincoln?
Hmm. then you might need to check me into an institution.
No, I think first what I would do is like take you all around and like hang, you know, like show you off to people.
Yeah. Show me off to people.
Yeah, like you can like, I'll be like, hey, recite your, you know, your speech from, you know,
the Gettysburg Address. Yeah,
47 years ago. Anyway.
I should learn that.
You should.
I should memorize that.
And then wear a top hat every once in a while. Just walk into that a room, put a on a top hat.
Just to do. Maybe I will. Maybe. Oh, man. Maybe by Lincoln's birthday, whenever that is. Oh,
dude, that'd be awesome.
Next year sometime, I will have memorized the Gettysburg Address, and I will recite it for you.
That would be
on this podcast.
Awesome. Dude, I'm gonna hold you to that. I am going to like write down this date, put it in my phone to remind me, tell Siri to remind me that you need to do that.
Speaking of Siri.
Yeah.
Next week, the Apple event is coming up on what is it? The 9th?
The 9th, yes, yeah. It's the 9th. Same the day 9th, Destiny comes out.
At 10 o'clock Pacific time. It is 11 a.m. Eastern time. If you're in between there, you can figure it out on your own. And so I think you will have some info on that. I'm not going to be here next week.
Yeah. You're going to be in Rapidsing it up in Grand Rapids or something.
Yes.
Doing a video shoot.
I've got a video shoot in Grand Rapids for work, so I'll be up there. But you will also, you'll have a special guest.
I will.
Ike. Elgard.
I keep calling him Hawk though. That's his name on, Xbox.
Yes.
And so like in real life, I call him Hawk a lot of times.
I mean, that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't think he minds.
I feel like that's his name now to me. It's
cool.
It's either Ike or Hawk. They're interchangeable.
Yeah. And so he's going to come and help you review Destiny, which also comes out on the 9th.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Yep. Are you preloading it?
I am preloading
it. I'm going to preload it as well. So that's
going to happen.
Because I leave town on Wednesday. And so like I have literally, I have to leave my house at like 5 a.m. So I have basically some time on Monday night after it like unlocks, the preload unlocks to play. And then maybe some time on Tuesday night. But
dude,
like,
don't kid yourself. On Tuesday, you're going to need to pack and like you probably won't have a ton of time.
No, I'll probably play it like as soon as it comes out and then I won't play it for, you know, till the end of the week.
Yeah.
But you guys will review that to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
That's next week.
It'll be a really fun time.
Yeah, it will. It'll be interesting. I will listen as a listener rather than as a host,
and you'll hear all the shenanigans.
So that's pretty awesome. Like I'm excited about that. Actually, like I will listen to it and enjoy it, and just listen and you entertain me.
Okay, that is the challenge. I need to entertain Chris. Like I need to do everything that you enjoy on a podcast.
Yes.
So, yeah. Well, I think that's pretty much it for this week. Like,
yep.
That pretty much covers everything.
We're about to dive into some, you know, like it's been pretty slow this summer, but
it
we're
has.
About to dive into like, you know, we got Destiny review. We've got some movies coming up. We're going to figure out, I think we're going to do a hashtag Writetober and figure out some content online and, like we'll gear back up with what we're going to do. We haven't figured out what we're going to do exactly, but we have the Arrow podcast as well. We'll be talking in some aspect about The Flash.
Yes.
We'll either make it a part of the Arrow podcast or it will be its own separate thing. We'll let you know about that whenever it comes up. But we've got a lot of plans for the fall/winter months to keep you entertained while you drive and in the dark because it's cold outside and you don't want to be out there.
Yeah, you don't want to be out there.
Nope. Be in here with us.
Yeah, you know, in the warmth of the podcast.
The warmth of our communication, our brotherly love.
Yes.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
Be a part of that.
That's exactly right. You can be, you're invited into the family.
Yeah.
For this,
oh,
for,
man.
For this podcast, everyone, every listener is invited Once into you're the family. In the family,
you don't leave.
Oh, gosh. That just came, like, went from a, like, loving, hugging place to a very threatening, like, I'm gonna put a dead horse in your bed type of a way.
It's true. I mean, you know, you never know what happens. But yeah, so that's coming up. So stay tuned. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time on
Stay on Target.